Okay, I think we're streaming now. This is the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting, and I am Lydia Brazon. I'm the convener. However, we did hold an election. Whoever just unmuted, can they mute again?
I just got on the phone call.
Who was it?
Vajra, I just got on the phone call.
Oh, okay. Can you mute? The cycle started when you got on. Sorry.
How do we do that?
Star six.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's good. The echo's gone. So we held an election, and my understanding, because I've been offline because it's been a bit of computer hell, but anyway, is that that Sarv, who was the only candidate running, was the only one we sent in. Well, we sent in the ballots, and I understand only four people responded, only sent in their ballots. So we have never established a quorum for the number of ballots. We didn't have anyone contesting the seat. So does anybody have any objection to seating Sarv, or otherwise we can appoint a chair pro tem, because I don't wish
Madam,
to
Madam
chair,
chair
this evening. Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
There isn't a quorum for an election. As long as one ballot is cast for people, that's it.
Okay, that's
the
what I thought.
The main motion. Same as the main motion. Abstentions don't count. So we have indeed got vote counts. Overagawa for chairperson has 3 votes. Lydia Brazon for vice chairperson has 4 votes. R. Paul Martin for secretary has 4 votes. So those folks have been elected.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. So, Sarv, would you like to take over the duties of chair? And I had, by the way, forgotten I was vice chair. So
that's okay.
Anyway, and then you heard Dan say that he needs to leave, so if we can consider that first item for which we all agreed we wanted him on this call, which was the confidentiality agreement. But the agenda. Okay.
Sure. Thank you very much. We have a 90 minutes for the total meeting here, so we have to really move on here. The first item on the agenda is draft confidentiality agreement.
Actually, we have to vote on the agenda.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The agenda items are update on the election of officers. Then the committee voted to meet on third Thursday of each month from 8:30 to 10. That's just a reminder. And then on the agenda is confidentiality agreement for LSB and PNB members. And the text is included. Notice. Then we'll have reports from working groups, bylaws working group, and then code of conduct working group. We have two working groups. Then the fifth item on the agenda is update on compliance with requirements for community advisory board at all stations. Sixth is compliance with Title VII, employment non-discrimination. 7, protocol for resignations. 8, affiliate director election process for 2008. 9, and we are not going to get to all of them. But I think that's just if somebody else wants to add or subtract from it, now is the time. So I would.
This is Lydia.
Sure.
Yes, I'd like to add, coupled with the confidentiality agreement form, is a process for reporting out from executive session non-confidential information. And hopefully we can get to that before Dan leaves, and maybe not. Anyway, so I don't know if that's a separate item or part of the same, however the chair wishes or the body wishes to handle it.
Could the member repeat that?
Go ahead, Lydia.
A process for reporting out from an executive session non-confidential information to the board or committee.
Okay, so
I have it as a process for reporting. reporting out from an executive session non-confidential information to the board or committee?
Yes.
And where is that going for how long?
It would be after the confidentiality agreement. And for 10 minutes. It may be something we refer back forward.
Actually, I noticed the...
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Go ahead.
I noticed that we don't have times for any of these things. And we also should put in old business and new business at the very end.
I agree with that.
Bob?
Yes, Bob, go ahead.
In light of Dan Siegel's short time frame with us, can we postpone any more than just what you've stated so far as the agenda? And we can go back and set times after he leaves us, but he's going to have a very short time.
Is that okay with the body if we just approve this agenda just like it is right now? And then after Dan leaves, we can come back and modify the agenda. Is that okay? Temporarily, we can do that. Is there any objection to that? Paul?
Not objecting.
Huh? I couldn't hear.
But I'm not objecting.
Okay. All right. So if there's no objection, then that's what we'll do. And the first item on the agenda, then, is the draft confidentiality agreement that was presented in Houston. And it was referred back to the governance committee. And Dan is with us, and we have a copy of that confidentiality agreement. And Dan, could you give us a little background on it and why you think we need it and why it's important and the way it's written, that it's adequate, it protects what we need to protect for the foundation. Dan?
Hello?
Yeah. Dan?
Yes, sir. Sarv, hi, how are you?
All right, good. Did you hear me what I said?
No, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Okay. The confidentiality agreement that was presented at the Houston meeting,
yes.
Everyone has a copy of that. And could you tell us why you think it's important and how it protects everyone's rights?
Okay, well, first of all, let me tell you that I am in the process of rewriting it because I think it would benefit from being rewritten, okay? But why do I think it's a good idea? I think it's a good idea because it will reinforce the obligation and commitment that all board members already have to maintain the confidentiality. This is not really my idea, but I've seen that both in Washington and in Berkeley, some form of confidentiality agreements have been used by the LSBs. And when asked my opinion about it, it seemed to me that it was a good idea because it makes the commitment more clear and perhaps more real if it's actually manifested in a document that everyone signs. If it doesn't create the commitment to maintain confidentiality, that's already there. But again, I just think it confirms it.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yes, and of course I don't know what you're envisioning, but one other board member and myself were wanting the wording, and I don't have it before me because of my little computer situation. But anyway, where the wording would be, and I don't remember what it says, but something like information. To include the word deemed confidential as opposed to just confidential information, so that what we have discovered is that in executive session, for example, in the course of conversations about confidential information, non-confidential information is also shared. That would be very useful, very often process issues. And so we would like to be more specific in designating that the information that is
absolutely confidential, that the group acknowledges is absolutely confidential, is what is deemed confidential, as opposed to, oh, they use, because I know there have been a couple of recent instances, and our chair has done something, has recommended something that was really useful just as a process. And you had made a recommendation to the PMB that I thought would be useful here about how you determine how we report back out. That's a separate issue, but in the form, is it useful to have it that way, or what is your rewrite also?
Well, I mean, I could send it out to people soon, but, you know, I thought the one thing that was problematic about the draft that I had is that it begins with a statement about legal action, and I think it kind of, I don't know, confounds the categories. So I wrote something I think is perhaps a little bit clearer, which says, I, blah, 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 acknowledge that in the course of my membership on the blah, 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 I will have access to confidential information concerning the Pacifica Foundation. Such confidential information may include, but is not limited to, the following. One, information concerning employees of the foundation. Two, information concerning potential or actual litigation against the foundation or any of its officers, board members, or employees. Three, information regarding the sale or purchase of Pacifica property. Four, information disclosed during a closed session of any Pacifica Foundation board or committee. And then I want to say, I agree I will not disclose this. I acknowledge that if I fail to carry out this commitment, I may be subject to discipline. And then I want to say at the end, I further understand that the authority to disclose information discussed during closed session, which is not otherwise confidential, rests with the body within the information is discussed, rather than any individual member. So those
were my
ideas.
Did that last part again, Dan? Did the last part again?
Yeah, that basically people. I want people to say I acknowledge that the decision to make public information disclosed in a closed session is that authority is with the group as a whole, not with any individual member of the group.
Non-confidential information.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean, if assuming you can disclose it anyway.
Yes.
It's a group decision, not an individual decision.
Oh, okay.
So
then I withdraw my recommended wording. Thank you.
I have a question about it. It's Deb.
Who's that? Deb? Go ahead, Deb.
Deb, yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
We have a member on our local board who will not sign a confidentiality agreement, and some of us feel that that member should not be allowed to have or read over minutes from an executive session. In fact, shouldn't even be allowed in an executive session, being unwilling to sign a confidentiality agreement. What's your feeling about that?
I agree. I mean, that's one of the... That's one of the purposes of doing this.
Okay, that's good.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I think I heard Joe's voice. But I also have...
Joseph?
I did ask a question.
Go ahead, Joseph.
Making it specific that any release of information from an executive session needs to be first voted upon by the body, so that it's not an individual decision. Will that be made explicit in this here new definition of this confidentiality agreement terms?
Dan?
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay. And secondly, would be in the event that a committee member in an executive session, when requested to, completed confidentiality agreement does not agree or refuses to agree to comply with that, what is our recourse?
Well, I think I heard people saying that people will not be allowed to participate in executive session unless they sign the agreement.
Well, that session would have to be adjourned if that person refuses to leave the room or such.
Well, if a person refuses to leave after being asked to leave, then you have a situation where someone has disrupted the meeting and might well be removed from the body permanently.
Yeah, okay, so that would be a cause for consideration of removal from the body permanently. But couldn't be handled at that meeting.
Well, I mean, if someone physically, you know, refuses to leave, I guess the question is always whether, you know, someone's going to pick them up and throw them out.
No, well, we're not gonna do that. We're a peace station.
Right. Some of these people are big.
Yeah.
Right.
That occurred in one of our meetings. It seemed like the refusal to comply with the motion that was passed.
And just to remind, if I may just remind everyone that we are streaming publicly.
Good.
So. Thanks. Okay. Any other questions for Dan?
Yeah, this is Bob.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Well, overall, it sounds like the changes Dan Siegel wants to make are improvements and, you know, would make it a clearer and better document. I have two questions, or two concerns, actually. One is the last comment about saying that that information that has been deemed confidential can only be released by a vote of the committee or board. I could foresee a situation where it concerned perhaps the status of an employee that was up in the air but might get resolved within a week or two after the meeting, and that you might want to leave some leeway for management to exercise its judgment to say that as of this moment, this person's status is confidential, but within a week or two before the next board meeting, it'll be resolved, and the person would be perfectly happy to disclose what she or he is planning to do, and it really needs to be announced publicly. So my suggestion would be not to write such rigid language that we'd be, you know, barred from releasing information that really should be released because the body hasn't taken a vote yet. I was wondering,
Bob,
if Dan would comment on that.
That's a very good suggestion, Bob, and I'll amend the language accordingly. That's definitely correct.
Okay.
I have a question.
One clarification. Well, go ahead, Bob.
Well, this is on a different aspect. Sarv, do you want to, is yours on that subject?
We are still on this subject. Yeah, mine is just to let everyone know that this confidentiality agreement is applicable to only the governing bodies, the local station boards and the Pacifica National Board, and not to the management side of the organization.
I have a question.
Dan? Well, I want to finish.
Yes, I mean, I think that's the understanding, that this is for boards, and but not only boards, but also committees, for example, personnel committee or governance committee.
Right. Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, and so actually the language of committee should be included in the next draft because the current draft only talks about boards. But my second point, my second concern is that the language, which I think Dan said would be the same in his new draft, is something like information regarding personnel of the foundation. And that seems a little broad because particularly for those of us who are on the staff, we come across information that is non-confidential often, you know, when we go to a staff meeting. So I just think it needs to be circumscribed a little bit to somehow make clear that it's not any fact that you might learn about personnel, but it's particular facts that are deemed confidential, because there's many things that there's just nothing. It doesn't violate anyone's rights to say, at a meeting last week, so-and-so said that, you know, we should do such and such. So, again, Dan, do you have a comment on that?
Well, Bob, I think you're right, first of all, as to what's confidential and what's not, and I'd have to sort of, unless you have an idea, come up with some language. I mean, I don't want to make this circular. The language that you're not allowed to disclose is personnel, is this confidential personnel information. but that doesn't help us in terms of providing meaning to this phrase.
I have a question.
Think about it.
Our poll has one too.
Okay.
Okay.
Our poll, go ahead.
Grace.
Grace.
Yes. As we have staff on our boards in an executive session, if information comes out about one of the staff members is also a board member that they feel is unfair in some way, does signing the confidentiality agreement mean they have no recourse? In other words, can they not then go to their union rep or to the HR director to complain about something unfair said about them personally?
About them. And the answer
or
is...
Or something that they feel is said by about another staff person that's unfair. In other words, as we have staff members on the board, they have rights as well. And if the confidentiality agreement means that they can be disparaged without being able to ask for equal time or whatever that could possibly, or without being able to go to their union representation or the HR director because they've signed the confidentiality agreement, it might be considered unfair. So how would that be dealt with?
Right. Well, that's there's a distinction between what may be said in the meeting about me. Okay, so I'm in the meeting, and someone says something bad about me or is unfair about me, and I want to do something about it, assuming there's something I can do, because I certainly can't file a libel suit because it's in a confidential meeting. But let's say I want to do something about it. First of all, the right to privacy about the information about me is mine, so I can waive it. I can say, you know, I've been fired, I've been accused, I'm facing charges, and I have a right to I have a right that everybody must keep that information confidential, but I choose to waive that right, and I'm going to talk about it. So that's not a problem. On the other hand, let's supposing we're in the meeting and the information's about you, and I don't agree with whatever said about it. Well, that's exactly what this confidentiality provision is designed to protect. I cannot talk to you about it. Assuming that the topic is on the agenda and we're talking about you, I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut about it and participate in that conversation. If I disagree with what other people's opinions are, I can tell them I disagree, but I don't have a right to break the confidentiality. Let's say we're talking about firing you. Should we fire, you know, whomever? And I disagree with the decision. That doesn't mean I have a right to break the confidentiality.
Okay.
I mean, that's the purpose of the confidentiality, or one purpose of it.
All right. I have two questions, really. One of which is, if there's a topic or an agenda item in an executive session to do X, you know, and X is the topic of the session. If extraneous things come up, what are the limits? Is it anything at all that goes on in there? For instance. Actually, I have three parts. So that's the first part.
Okay. Well, that falls under the category of the information should be made public, but the body needs to vote to make it public. It's not my call because I think it should be public. It's a group decision. But part of this, and this is kind of a overall advice to Pacifica bodies, is that people should object if things are being discussed in closed session which should not be discussed in closed session. I think we all have an obligation to, you know, raise our hand at the appropriate moment and say, look, there's no reason why we should be discussing this in closed session. This is something the public has the right to know, and I you know, ask the chair to rule this conversation out of order.
But, all right.
And so then if, you know, if that doesn't happen, without disclosing the information, I think it's fair to say publicly, you know, I'm very concerned because the committee or the LSB that I serve on has this practice of discussing matters that should be public in closed session, and I think people have a right to know about that without disclosing what was said.
So it would still be confidential even if, I mean, for instance, if there's something that's basically already known, you can't make something, you can't take something that is known, even if only by a few people, and make it confidential simply by bringing it into an executive session. I mean, if everybody knows that X has, run off to a foreign country, and, you know, and if people want to discuss that in an executive session, it still doesn't make the fact that some people know that X has run off to a foreign country, it doesn't make that confidential. People can still say, you know, X ran off to a foreign country, right?
Well, certainly the people who already knew it and knew it publicly are not then bound to secrecy by the fact that it was discussed in closed session.
Right. The second part is, let's say an LSB has an executive session and a motion is passed, and the LSB makes a motion and passes a motion to release part or all of that motion. But let's say part. They say, well, we're going to make public part of this motion. Say there are four parts, and they say we're going to release three parts of this motion. Can the person, can say somebody who agrees or disagrees, then discuss what was said in executive session regarding the parts that are released to the public?
Should not.
You know, should not.
Yeah.
Okay, so, however, they could still bring up their own arguments for or against it, whatever's made public, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's take a practical example. The Pacifica National Board has a conversation, and it decides that it's going to hire, you know, Joe Smith as the new executive director, that his salary is going to be $90,000 a year, and they're going to hire him for a three-year contract, and they're going to give him another evaluation within 6 months. And the board decides to release the first 3 points, not to make public the fact that he's going to be evaluated in 6 months. And so that's now public information, but the evaluation is not. Now, supposing you disagree with hiring Joe Smith as executive director, you can publicly say, the board has announced this decision, I disagree. I think they should have hired somebody else.
And that would be it?
Well, I mean, you could say whatever you like.
You could say, well, I think it shouldn't be 3 years. I think it should be 2.5 years.
Right. You're free to express your opinion on it.
About whatever is public, you can express your own personal opinion, but you can't say that during executive session somebody said, well, I want it 3 years because he's my pal and we have a deal. You know, you can't tell the world that idea.
You can't. You have other remedies.
Right. Uh-huh. All right. And what if stuff? What about stuff that? My final thing is: what about stuff that's not really a part of a motion or debate about a motion or something like that? Let's say you're having an executive session and somebody hits somebody else. Does that have to remain, you know, confidential?
Yeah. Right.
But you guys ask the hard questions, I'll tell you. You know, I've never heard that question before about closed session of a meeting, and it does not strike me that that's a confidential communication. I mean, it's an act. You know, I mean, if people you know, if people showed up and everybody smoked pot in the executive session, it seems to me you could go out publicly and say, what kind of an organization is this? Everybody's getting stoned in executive session. That would not be confidential.
Probably make for a better session.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Joseph.
The PNB, not the PNB, LSB has staff members elected to the board who serve on the MSRC Management Selection Review Committee. In the course of that committee's work, performance evaluations and other matters relative to personnel of the station with whom they interact and with whom they may be in daily contact as part of their role in the station, whether they're paid or volunteer staff, there is participating in the evaluation process and making decisions. Is that not conceivably a conflict of interest in some way, given that the staff member participating in the committee receives favors having to do with things like programming or sending them away to a trip or budget approvals?
Well, you know, we've had that situation come up on the Pacifica National Board, and the judgment that was made in the situation that actually came up was that the board member involved was directly supervised by the person who was being evaluated. And we thought, and actually I thought, that that was such a close and direct relationship that it would be a conflict of interest for that board member to participate in the evaluation of his boss. On the other hand, it didn't seem appropriate to kind of have a uniform rule. And the reason I say that is because our governance structure specifically provides for paid and unpaid staff to sit on all governance bodies within the organization. So if there were to be a kind of a uniform rule on that question, it would negate the policy judgment that we've made as a foundation that we want staff to sit on LSBs and, you know, the PNB and other bodies. So for that reason, it seemed to me that it would be appropriate to make the evaluation of whether there's a conflict on a case-by-case basis, and largely focusing on whether the person who conflict status was being discussed was in a close enough business, you know, professional relationship with the person being evaluated.
So will we have explicit criteria to apply in the evaluation of that relationship, whether it is fits the parameters for a too close relationship?
Well, you know, I haven't been asked to do that by the board, and I mean, I would, if I was asked, I would do it, although I would say that it's kind of hard to foresee. You know, again, I mean, I would say clearly if I'm working for the program director, he or she is my direct report, then I should not be involved in evaluations. On the other hand, if you know, I am a personnel specialist working a couple of levels down from the supervision of a station manager. I don't think that would be a problem particularly.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I think we're getting off point.
Yes, we're way off the point. Joseph, this is, you know, we don't even have in front of us. This is a good information type of a discussion we have here, and I think Dan can take that information and our concerns, and he can craft this agreement at the earliest and send us a copy. And then we can go from there because, you know, I don't think that every eventuality or every case is going to be covered by this agreement, and I think it's as long as a reasonable kind of agreement that we can all agree on, rather than trying to cover every issue, every side of it, it probably won't work. So this is my suggestion, the body, that we have spent over 20 minutes, and that we have Dan go back with the concern that we have expressed, unless someone has some outstanding other issue that they want to bring up here, just in relation to this confidentiality agreement that they think
I
is so important.
This is Lydia. I move to postpone till our next meeting, postpone this vote, as well as my adjoining agenda item, since he has included it in the confidentiality agreement, until Dan provides us with the copy. Dan, you can have that to us by our next meeting, the third Thursday of May.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Okay. Maybe even by tonight.
Oh, okay. Great.
Okay,
thank
so that's
you.
The motion. Any second to the motion?
I second.
The committee, we
Joseph
don't need a second.
Oh, you don't need a second.
Okay, so, all right. Any objection to the postponement?
I should read it, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
The motion is to postpone this agenda item along with the... Okay, let me read the agenda item. Okay. Postpone the confidentiality agreements for LSB and PNB members item to along with the one from Lydia to the next meeting.
And whatever the one, you have that language.
Yeah,
for
I can read it, but I'm flipping back and forth.
Okay, that's fine. Any objection to postponing this item? And Dan can, in the meantime, Dan can craft this agreement and send to us as quick as possible. No objection? And then that's what happens there. Then we postpone it to the next meeting.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Dan, for coming.
You're very welcome. Okay, bye.
Okay.
Bye, Dan.
All right. Now to the next item on the agenda. Now we can go back and take a look at the agenda and see the remaining time we have, how we want to spend this time. Any additions to it? Or let's put some time on it, too. We have only about 35 minutes left, and let's see what we can cover in that. First of all, the way it's set up right now, it's... reporting from the working groups, and then that's bylaws working group and code of conduct working group, and then the next item is update on compliance with requirements for community advisory board, and then the next is compliance with Title VII, employment non-discrimination, and so on. I think we will not be able to cover more than maybe some working group report back. What's the body think?
Let's go for it.
Very short.
Be brief.
Is there any items that anyone would like to add to this agenda the way it exists right now?
An adjournment item.
Any? Go ahead.
I would move to make all items, reports from working groups, updates, compliance, I would move to make all items 5 minutes each.
Okay. Any objection to doing that? If no objection, then that's what we'll do. So the first thing is the bylaws working group. Who was convening that group?
That's supposed to be me.
Okay, go ahead, R. Paul.
Okay, very fast. I'm making note of what we just did, so I don't forget it.
What is your name,
okay,
sir?
R. Paul Martin. And I've sent out to the list a request for when can people do this. We haven't convened yet, so our item right now is we need to convene. People need to email me when you can possibly make a meeting through I guess it's going to be in early May. The next meeting of the PNB Governance Committee is May 17th. So before then, we need to have a meeting of the Bylaws Working Group. And one person has gotten back to me on the list so far. I will send a reminder tonight that will folks please get in touch with me about this. And from there, I think we can set up our meeting.
Anyone else want to speak on the Bylaws Working Group? That's it. That's just our part of the report. Code of Conduct Working Group.
This is Grace Aaron. I tried to convene the Code of Conduct Working Group, but no one responded to my email. I would hope that, I think that Bob Lederer and Sarv, you also volunteer to be on that working group. So if...
Grace, I did not get that. You sent it to me, my email?
I sent it to the PAC governance list.
Yes, the chair. The chair hasn't joined the list yet.
Pardon me?
A couple of invitations. You need to respond to one of those and join the list so that you get on it.
We're going to talk about that. Okay.
I got it back from the group.
I didn't get it. Anyway, so we'll overcome that problem real quick. So when do you want to meet Grace? Sometime in the next 2 weeks, or?
Sure. I'm. My best availability is usually in the mornings. My weekends are very bad for me. But any other time besides weekends is fine for me. So, Bob, is Bob there?
Yes, and I apologize for not setting a date sooner. It was just a lot of work to prepare for the PNB meeting, but now I'm happy to work out a time. I don't know if it's productive to do it right here and now on this phone call, but I'll just say I can't do mornings because I work full-time during the day, but I could do some weeknight evenings.
Okay, so think of a time. If we can do it quickly, maybe we can do it quickly. What about...
Grace, I can't meet in the morning because I also work during the day.
Okay,
so
what is the earliest you can meet in the evening?
5:30 would be best for
what
because
about
I
you,
drive
Bob?
Back.
That's 5:30 Pacific time, you mean, right, Sarv?
Right. Right.
Okay, so that's 8:30 Eastern. I could meet earlier than that, but if that's Sarv's limitation, I guess that would be the earliest.
This is Tracy, and I don't get out of work until usually 6 p.m. our time Pacific.
Uh-huh. Tracy, are you on the working group, too, on this code of conduct?
I don't think so. This is my first call with you guys.
I see. So there are a couple of working groups there. Maybe you want to... somebody can... Arpa, could you send to Tracy these working groups?
Thank you.
That she can join one or the other?
Sure. I'll send them out to the list again.
Yeah,
thank
send
you.
Them out
okay.
to everybody.
So, what about Monday evening, the 30th? That would be next Monday.
Our LSB
PM.
Is meeting.
Oh, okay. All right, let me go back.
We can work it out, Grace. We can.
All right. Well. What about Thursday the 3rd, May 3rd, at 6 p.m. Eastern time?
Unfortunately,
I have a governance meeting then, and I do want to be part of this. The first
the
Thursday of the month is standard governance.
The PNB is
okay.
meeting that night.
Well, the conveners can now they can. Work it out.
I know. Takes so much longer. And what about Wednesday the 9th or Monday the 7th?
Either one is good for me.
At 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Those are okay for me.
The 7th? How about Monday the 7th? Any objection?
Well, so far...
That's code of conduct, right?
I'm not...
Yeah.
Okay, and in the meantime, Grace, if you have, I think there's a, if you have any samples of code of conduct items, you know, some draft, maybe some from Houston, some somewhere else.
Yeah, I have some somewhere.
That.
What is your, Sarv, what's your email address?
One Biffer.
Well, send it to everybody.
One.
Well,
we're streaming publicly.
Yes.
Oh, just one Biffer. At earthlink.net.
I don't understand that.
Biffer.
One what?
One is digit. Digit one.
Yes.
And B-I-F-F-E-R. One Biffer
B
at earthlink.net.
B as in boy, I, F as in Frank, E-R.
At earthlink.net.
Earthlink, okay. The rest I'll send send it to the whole governance list, all right?
No,
I assume everyone else is going to be on the governance list. And can we use the same phone number and code, or do we need to just call each other and do a conference call?
I
don't know. We'll have to work.
Yeah, I think just somebody needs to. Well, actually, I don't know. These haven't been streamed, have they? These working group meetings. So, if we don't have to stream it, then the number is just available to use, I believe. And I just checked the KPFTX calendar. There's no committee meeting that night, so that wouldn't create a conflict with the phone number.
Okay, good. So we'll use the same one we used tonight.
Well,
all right, so the Code of Conduct Working Group, any of you who want to participate, we'll meet Monday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 p.m. Pacific Time.
No. 9 p.m. Eastern. Because Tracy said she couldn't be available till 6 p.m. Pacific.
Right.
Okay. Tracy, you want to be on this committee for sure?
Well,
is she there?
I'm going to check my calendar and see what the other committees are too, and then I'll let you know. But is it possible to try to set all meetings after 7 p.m. our time, or after 6 at least?
Well, if we set it after 7 p.m. our time, that's 10 p.m. Eastern time.
That's true.
That's pretty difficult.
6 p.m.
6 p.m. That's still 9 p.m. Eastern time.
Do the Eastern people reject it?
May I recommend something?
Go ahead.
Is that once Tracy decides which working group she chooses to be on, if any, then they can have this discussion. About the time.
Okay, why don't we set it for?
Is that okay?
Why don't we set it for 6 p.m. Eastern time for now, and then we can move it. Tracy, if you really want to be on this committee, we can move it up.
Okay,
Grace,
thanks.
I think we should move
okay?
on, and each subcommittee can just go ahead and take care of the time. I think this
okay. Very
all
good.
Right.
But anyway, we have
item,
Monday, May 7th. Very good.
Okay. The next item is update on compliance with requirements of community advisory boards at all stations.
Excuse me, Sarv, you skipped the bylaws.
Bylaws working group.
Oh, that's right. I thought the bylaws working group, R. Paul Martin, was the one convener.
Yeah, just reported.
And he reported.
Okay, but I'm not sure everyone is aware that anyone can join it and what the process is to set the date.
Well, R.
Paul Martin would convene, and he will set up, get together with the people, and set up the time.
I don't believe we.
Is that fair?
That's what I said just, before the code of conduct. I said we need to get together to see when we can do this. Probably sometime in early May, and so we should use the list. And people should get back to me when they can make it. We'll work it out on the governance committee mailing list.
Pardon?
Is that fair?
Would you send out a reminder to everyone?
Yes, I shall do so.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go to the next item, I want to repeat once again the mandate of the governance committee as set in the bylaws. specific governing bylaws. A governance committee shall regularly review the foundation's bylaws and policies for governance of board activity. So what that means is board activities and not the management activities of any kind of station or anything like that, but the board activity. Okay? All the committees that we have, all the, small working group, and that's what our mandate is. But with that caveat, Bob, go ahead. You had something there.
No, I didn't bring this item.
Okay. All right. So we go to, let's see, the item is, who brought this community advisory board issue at all stations? The update on compliance with requirement for community advisory boards at all stations. This item is here.
Yes, I brought that up.
Okay. Go ahead.
I brought that
Lydia?
Up.
Lydia? Okay.
No, this is Grace.
Give us some. Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay.
And what's the rationale?
Being that a great deal of funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is partly dependent upon our having working community advisory boards, I think that the PNB should make sure that community advisory boards are in place, are meeting, and are functioning in compliance with the guidelines of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Am I correct, Grace, that the local station boards, they have that mandate activity to see to it that the community advisory boards are set up?
Yes. But
okay.
It's also, it would be in the best interest of the Pacifica National Board as well.
I understand.
If the LSBs aren't doing it, to have some oversight over it getting done.
Okay.
How many stations have active community advisory boards?
KPFT has one.
Okay.
I served on it prior to being elected to the LSB.
Mm-hmm.
And they have met, they're trying to meet quarterly to fulfill the obligation to be actively pursuing getting information to the station management with regard to community needs for the station to address.
So,
what about WBAI?
Anyone else has any ideas on it? Any thoughts? Not it. Seems to me it's a local station board activity, and maybe we should, I don't know how to handle this.
May I share something about the experience we had in reading the document regarding that requirement? It stated that the community advisory board is relatively independent of the LSB while it is functions under its aegis and reports
right.
to it. It's not controlled
right.
by the LSB.
Okay. So there we have it. So I think that this item here, there's nothing we can do about it, and it kind of falls outside our jurisdiction to some degree, and maybe we just table this.
This is Grace Aaron. I disagree with that. I think that we are, having a fiduciary responsibility to the foundation and also as an oversight board. I mean, the LSCs are just committees of the PNB, and if several stations are don't have functioning community advisory boards, that there should be some oversight. It speaks to several of the powers and duties of the PNB and of the LSBs. So I think it's important because it's a great deal of funding, and it should not be just left to the LSBs if they are not. If they should at least have to report what the status is of their community advisory boards, or the general manager should be reporting to the PNB. Shouldn't be left just to chance.
I think it's right. In the reading of the documentation from the, about the cab here in Houston, it's a requirement. It's not an optional item. And, it, of course, the, and the LSB needs to kind of seek people to serve on that and then approve the membership for people who apply to be members of the Community Advisory Board. So there's a appoint a convener whose just job is to temporarily serve to get it going and then turn it over. It's not run by the LSB. But you need to recruit actively people from the community to participate in that.
Yes.
So I'd like to see some motion. Grace, just a second, hold it. What I'd like to see here is some kind of a motion that we can discuss. What is your motion?
Okay, that the Pacifica National Board request specific information about the existence or non-existence of community advisory boards at all the local stations from the general managers, the executive director, and the local station boards. Because it's the responsibility of all three of those.
Grace,
it's the responsibility of management, but also of the local station boards and the PNB.
Grace, I understand.
Yes.
But we cannot speak on behalf, we cannot speak as Pacifica National Board does this and Pacifica National Board does that, because we are a committee of the Pacifica National Board.
I'm suggesting that we pass a motion that then would be passed by the PNB, requesting the stations to report the executive director, the general manager, and the chair, let's say the chair of each LSB, report on the compliance with the CPB requirements. It says here.
I just want to know the motion.
Okay,
that's the motion.
So
it's
what I have.
Joseph, just hold it.
Okay.
Your motion does not involve executive director or any of that, because you had something there you were talking about, executive director or general managers and this and that. It has to do with just the local station board, and if they have formed advisory
Let me restate it then.
Committees.
Okay.
Our ball has to write it down.
Okay. Shall I restate it?
Go ahead.
Okay. The governance committee suggests that the Pacifica National Board request the executive director, the general managers of all five stations, and the local station, the chair of the local station board of all five stations, submit a report within 2 months of passage of this motion by the PNB, the status of local community advisory boards. Let me add a little phrase to that.
Okay.
And their compliance with Corporation for Public Broadcasting requirements.